The first time people heard the news that the world was coming to an end, there was a global panic. Was it going to be aliens? Monsters? Zombies? Global warming? Nobody knew. It was an unseen enemy. But this story is not about the impending doom of humanity, no. We're here to talk about Luna, the one they say has 9 lives. Before we proceed to the story, you have to know that Luna is not a cat. She's a raven-haired human girl with deep, dark skin and eyes so sharp they could see from miles away. Luna isn't a cat. She is a hunter. Or was. To stop the riots in the cities, the group Artemis was formed. They were stationed to man the streets, and they trained rigorously so that they could eradicate whatever threat was coming to end all life on Earth. Luna was one of them, and she was the bravest of them all. But if Luna was such a great hunter, why did she have to leave, you ask? It's because the world was about to end, and yet Luna was in love. If this is where this ends, I want to be with the one I love, she announced before she left, shocking everyone in the camp. The Artemis tried to stop her, saying the world didn't need her selfish whims because they all needed to make sacrifices for humanity's sake. But Luna couldn't be convinced. She never wanted any of this. She just wanted to be with the one she loves. So, she embarked on an adventure 1,000 miles away from the Artemis' headquarters to find her one and only Sol. Sol was riveting in a way completely opposite of her, and that's what made her so beautiful to Luna. She was the tunnel you pass through during the roughest storms, her presence a canopy that shelters you from the noise. At least, according to Luna, because I'm just your narrator. Sol was her oldest and dearest friend, but Luna had always hoped they could be something more. Last time Luna heard, Sol was at house number 1002X at the beach. The beach is what they called one of the many sanctuaries created after the Great Economic Fall. While Luna and Sol were usually inseparable back when things were still normal, it just so happened that they were on the opposite ends of the country when things started to go awry. Luna tried countless times to find Sol since then, but every time she got to where she thought Sol was, Sol would already be off to a different sanctuary. Luna packed everything she needed and left before dawn, including her machete, because you'll never know what you'll see on the way to the beach. If things go according to plan, she'd be there, right before the end of the world. Now back to the present time when her sharp eyes could already see the outline of the beach. I hope you really are there, Sol, she said as she marched up north, the evidence of her journey showing up on her grubby face and slightly tattered clothes. Her machete, thankfully, was left untouched. The beach was exactly how Luna expected it to look, a suburban neighborhood untouched by the hands of the apocalypse, except for the little details amiss, such as how some windows were barred and big numbers were spray-painted on doors. The streets were lively, almost like New Year's Eve in Times Square, but with a lot less people. Everyone was dressed to the nines as if it was an end-of-the-world dress code. She hurriedly made her way through the crowd, not even bothering to stop to say sorry to the ones she bumped into. 1002X, 1002X, she mumbled as she went by the houses with numbers around 1012X and 1019X. She scurried a bit more until she finally saw 1002X, written in white paint on one of the doors. Without any second thought, she immediately knocked on the door, ready to profess her love for Sol. But when the door opened, she was greeted by a middle-aged Latina woman in an extravagant garb that reminded her of Liberace. Her heart sank. Were the fates this cruel to not even let her see Sol one last time? Is Sol here? She asked, afraid she was wrong all along, that she was going to perish heartbroken over someone she couldn't even hold one last time to say goodbye to. But the woman turned around and called for Sol. The woman returned inside without a word and was replaced by a tall Asian woman with beautiful brown skin that glinted underneath the sun. It took a while for Luna to process actually seeing Saul face to face. It was really her. Her soul. She was wearing an outfit as extravagant as the woman's earlier. Luna started to feel underdressed in her uniform that screamed post-apocalyptic, along with her machete that kept protruding out of her coat. "Is that you, Luna?" She didn't give her time to answer and gave her a big hug instead. "I thought I'd never see you again. I tried to look for you everywhere I went. Do you know how many sanctuaries I had to go to in hopes of finding you? I didn't know you would be working for the Artemis." Saul looked at her, eyes brimming with tears that mirrored hers. "So this is why we've always missed each other." Luna couldn't help but laugh at the silliness of their situation. She thought about the time they've wasted all these years trying to find each other, but quickly put that aside. What's important is that they're together now. "You don't know how hard I tried to find you," she added, never taking her eyes off of Saul's face even for a second. "I even worked for the Artemis because I know they'd have some information, but every time I go to where I thought you were always already gone. I know I can't just let the world end without telling you something very important. Do you know a place where we can talk?" Saul took Luna up the hill where there was a small playground with a romantic view of the horizon. She could see something unusual in the sky, like an eclipse slowly coming to a form. "I have this long speech in my head that I've rehearsed over and over on my way here, but I don't want to waste time. I've spent all these years trying to find you because not only did I want to be with you, I also wanted to tell you that I've been in love with you since we were kids, and I hoped I could have the honor of spending my last day with you because I couldn't imagine spending it with anyone else," Luna said in one breath. Saul didn't know what to feel because if it was the last day of Earth and someone confessed their love for you, you'd most likely feel confused too. Silence fell between them for a while, but it was not the type of silence where it was awkward because no one knew what to say next. It was a silence that would lead up to a kiss, and Luna felt it. And so she did the thing she wanted to do the most. When their lips finally touched, Luna expected it would reverberate across her skin as if she'd been electrified by the softest lips humanly possible. You see, Luna had thought about every possibility. Not being able to reach the beach, finding Saul with someone else, or worst case scenario, not being able to find Saul. But she never thought that this was in the cards. Her feeling nothing at all. She looked at Saul, only to realize that it was the same for her too. So they both laughed, and then they laughed some more. They laughed until they were out of breath. "Sorry, it looks like you went all this way here for nothing," Saul said once they calmed down. "It wasn't for nothing." Luna took Saul's hand while thinking about how she was spending the end of the world with the one she loves. Because while Luna realized that she didn't love Saul that way, it was still love. It was still the kind of love you'd give anything to die for. The kind of love you'd never stop searching for. The kind of love that made Luna feel braver than she had ever been her entire life. "I was planning on spending the last day there." Saul pointed to the crowd that Luna passed through earlier, which now doubled in size. "But this?" Saul said as she tightened her grip on Luna's hand. "I wouldn't trade it for even one more day on Earth." When they looked at the horizon, the moon had finally succeeded in obstructing the blazing sun. Maybe it wouldn't be the end after all. Maybe this was the universe gifting Luna with another life once again. There were so many end of the worlds that threatened humankind before, But here they were, still standing. Maybe there's still hope. From a distance where Luna's eyes couldn't even reach, there was a great big ball of light coming straight to Earth.